Time's up. Let's do this.
We're in for a wild night.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to episode 187 of Born to be Wild, a wild and wild adjacent Hearthstone podcast where we have fun hanging out with friends, talking about the wild and wild adjacent formats of Hearthstone and spotlighting the members of the wild community. I'm your host, Hydralisk. It's great to be back on this beautiful Friday evening here in beautiful British Columbia. I am joined by two of my favorite people tonight, Electric Sheep City and Shmoopy Daddy. How's it going, Electric Sheep City? How are you doing tonight?
Meowdy friends, I'm doing pretty fantastic. Had an action-packed week in Hearthstone and out and ready to talk about all of the goings-on in this here video game called Hearthstone, formerly Heroes of Warcraft. However, we've also got with us returning special guest, Shmoopy Daddy!
Hello from slightly frosted Orange County, New York. My wife had a snow day today. My son had a snow day today. My daughter is not old enough to go to school, so she also had a snow day today. I was the only one who had to schlub myself into work. And do a pretty okay day. So, like, I can't complain. But
so the big kids had to go to work, hey?
Big kid had to go to work, yes. Everybody else got to stay home and had a wonderful day.
All good for them.
So, for those of you joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. Let me briefly explain how this show works. We record this podcast live every Friday evening at twitch.tv/borntobewildhs. And the video version of this podcast is then posted to YouTube shortly thereafter. Audio versions are also distributed to all of the podcast apps. So however you are watching, listening, or absorbing via osmosis this podcast today, thank you. Yes. You.
So before we get into the main topic of the show, I'd like to say a quick thank you to Shokunin and the other patrons of our show. Your support means the absolute world to us. If you enjoy this content, please like, subscribe, and comment on this video on YouTube. Another simple way to support the show is to leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your podcast platform of choice. If you're watching live on Twitch, we've got some awesome emotes you can unlock by subscribing to the channel. This is free if you use Amazon Prime. There are also emotes you can unlock completely free just for following. Also, we do have Born to be Wild merchandise. So you can check that out on our website if you go to borntobewildhs.com. Also, if you'd like to support our show financially, you can join our Patreon for as little as $1 per month. If you'd like to interact with us personally, please join our Discord, a free, amazing online community of friends all across the world who love talking about Wild Hearthstone. And once again, links to all of these things can be found at borntobewildhs.com. So what we like to do is always check in with each other, see how our weeks are going, whether it's in Hearthstone, in real life, what's going on. So I'll just get started with myself. I know we heard a little bit about some snow over there from Shmoopy Daddy. We definitely had some snow here. So I know I live in what we call the California of Canada, we wish, in the Vancouver area. But we got absolutely bombarded. And we know it happens. It happens one time a year where we just get like a foot and a half overnight. And then the next day it keeps going. And so that happened to us this week. And I'm now, unfortunately or fortunately, Bossy Hydra. So I've got to go to work. But I get there and, well, guess what? Most people, I mean, it's like the perfect day to call in sick, right? Like you jump that much snow. It's honestly not safe to drive, really. If you don't have those snow tires or a 4x4, like don't even bother. So I went to work and it was probably one of the easiest days of my life in all honesty, but like the people that did show up, which wasn't a lot, like one person slipped and fell, and then another person went out. So what we did a thing where we wanted to reward the people that came. So one of our management team went out and bought pizza for everybody. And he goes and he gets the pizza. And then when he gets back, he tries to park. But our parking lot has this like big slant and he goes up. And then he just like slides and fishtails backwards and just slams right into a post.
Oh, right? No.
I know. So like he was trying to do a good thing, like buy everybody pizza. And I mean, he succeeded in that part. And then he ended up hitting a post with his car. So that punished. I don't know why, but I mean, maybe we should have all just had a snow day like Schmoopy Mommy had and all the Schmoopy Kitties had. It was probably a better idea just to do that because it was an absolute mess. I took a photo. I should have uploaded it for the show, but anyone who didn't go to work that day that lives on my street, the snowplow came and just pushed all the snow to the sides, and every car is completely covered. I'm looking out my dining room window and I'm watching people attempting to shovel their way out, and they'll be shoveling for like an hour and a half and then they just give up and go back into their house across the street.
Like it's there's so a bad. Hearthstone keyword for that: excavate.
Yeah, there is. That's so funny. So we had a bit of a blizzard this week, and it was pretty fun, right? So last week I was complaining. Yeah, I know, Shmoopy Daddy, sorry. I just had to do it.
I appreciated it.
I was complaining that I haven't found my one true love in Wild Hearthstone, like a new deck I can play that's actually good and have a lot of fun with. And so Sheep had recommended some Fatigue Warlock, and Shmoopy Daddy seconded that and sent me some lists, and I was having fun with it. And of course, I had no idea what I was doing. So what I did is I started playing against the Innkeeper, right? I'd figure it out. And Shmoopy Daddy's like, you have to play against DK on hard mode, right? Like the only way you know you're good is if you can beat DK on hard mode. And I did it, and I was like, woohoo, first try. Probably totally got lucky, right? The deck is super fun. I brought it to ladder and I was playing with it. I didn't pull any stats, but it's so funny because I swear I was scamming wins while misplaying. Like, like completely.
Sounds about right.
Completely.
Sounds about right.
Like, I'm like, I did that wrong. I not even close, and then I still win, and I just feel guilty, and like auto squelch. Like I don't want to hear the emotes from my opponent.
It gets really tricky, like, or like figuring out like the correct order to complete a stage in the quest, or like the hand management. Like I can't tell you how many times I have with 10 cards in hand played Kobold Librarian, completed the third quest, this third stage of the quest, and overwrote my Tamsin. Oh yeah, 100%. 100%.
So funny, Shmoopy mentioned that, and I was like, oh, I've not made that like foundational error yet. And then like later that day, I didn't tell you this, Shmoopy. Later that day, I did that exact thing. I was like, I mean, I'm not going to tell on myself, and now I'm telling more people than just you.
Or like you raised that, and you're like, you raised it, and you're like, wait, I just raised it at two minions into my hand. Oh my God, I have 10 cards now. Like, it's very easy to make really, like, silly, like, bop. So you shouldn't feel bad about that. That's just part of the learning experience of just getting good at the deck.
Yeah. And there were times that I raised it, and I didn't get what I wanted, and I'm completing the quest by tapping, right? Because it's taking forever because I didn't do it right, and I don't know. And then you end up winning anyway, but yeah, I don't know. It's not obviously it's not a straightforward deck, but there were times that I knew I should have completed the quest earlier, and I'm like really struggling to complete it because I didn't get what I wanted out of Raised Dead, or I haven't drawn the cards that I want to get out of Raised Dead, right? So mm-hmm. just really working for it in the end there. But it's still fun. I don't know if it's my one true love again, but it's cool. I like it.
So don't feel bad about like tapping to complete your quest. It's called fatigue lock for a reason. Like, yeah, you have all these ways to deal damage to yourself, but like the real end goal is not just to like complete the quest, but to do so. Exactly. That's kind of the Mechathune aspect of it, which is why I was like, I think this will resonate with you because that's the part, you know, like, so many times I'm against an even shaman, you know, they're trying to smork me down. They get me down to like two, but I've like completed my quest. And so then I just draw and draw and draw. And I hadn't gotten to fatigue yet, but that turn I get to fatigue and I draw like 5-6 cards deep and I just like basically OTK them. Yeah. Just bye-bye.
Yeah, just bye. Yeah.
So tapping to complete your quest. Hey, if you don't have other draw cards, the tap works on the quest, works towards fatigue. Two great tastes. It tastes great together.
And also, like, what I find when I play the deck is there's a lot of times I have to focus on survivability, and I can't make quest completion like my priority. So now I'm just surviving. But I usually get through the first two stages of the quest. So now I have an empty deck, and I have the final stage to go. And you can kind of, like, lean into, oh, fatigue is going to damage me and help me complete my quest. And so you're already in fatigue. You're already ramping fatigue up. And fatigue will actually help you complete the last stage of the quest line to the point where you're just like, okay, I can enter now here, take a very conservative stance. I know that the ping is going to complete my quest for free. I can drop Tansen and then draw enough cards to have enough fatigue to kill a horse. And that's kind of like, that's also a stance you can do, which again, again, takes some reps to kind of start seeing that line. I know I alluded to it a little bit when I said, and sometimes you use the fatigue to finish the third stage. But like, that's, I think you're kind of feeling that now where you're just like, I haven't drawn the cards I need to complete the quest. In that case, just draw as much as you can, filter your deck. It'll sort itself out probably.
Yeah.
It feels super sweet whenever you set it up to where you take however much in fatigue you're taking at the beginning of your next turn, and that exact amount completes the final stage of your quest. So you can drop Tamsin and then just like, that's when you just feel Chef's like kiss. You see the Matrix. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's fun. I like it. Like you said, it's a good... like, if I loved Mechathune, it's kind of a cool thing to play as well. And I definitely have been enjoying it. And I'm going to play it a lot more, too. I'd like to get a lot more reps in with it. That's what I did with Mechathune. When I started playing that deck, I was horrible. I'm pretty sure I lost a lot of ranks until I evened out that win rate and turned it into a positive one. And, yeah, so I like it. It's cool. I'm definitely down with that deck. I'm going to play it a lot more. I was going to say one more thing about my week. And so you know how we did our New Year's episode where we talked about what we want to do in the next year and everything. And I talked about how I wanted to read more than 31 books because that's what I read last year. Well, guess what my boss did today? Oh, my gosh. I know, 31. And so not just like... So here's like an Agatha Christie book that's about like this thin, right? And here's an Isaac Asimov book. It's that thin. The books that I've been reading are Stephen King books, right? So he doesn't write a lot of 200 page books. They're usually at least 500 to 1,000 pages, sometimes more, like 1,300 page books. And I did a lot of that, which was kind of crazy. But so we did this thing at work. My boss likes to do continuous improvement meetings once a month, apparently. So it's my new boss, right? And he doesn't, in this meeting, he's like, these ones are off the record. These aren't goals you're achieving for your performance reviews. These are what we're going to talk about once a month. And they're more personal goals, right? And I had already bragged about the 31 books. And he's like, so what are you going to do next year? What are you going to do for 2024? I'm like, ugh. Well, I would like to read more than that. He's like, all right, how many have you read this month? I'm like, I finished three, I think. he's not a hard butt. But he yeah, write that one down, sheep.
Yep.
it wasn't me.
but he like it's very interesting. He wants to see goals, not just in the workplace, but he likes to do this thing where you improve in all aspects of your life, and he turns that into a goal, which is a interesting approach. I kind of like it. I'll roll with it for now. But so now it's not just a goal that I've announced on Born to Be Wild. It is a goal that I've now announced to my director and in front of the entire management team. So
it's good to keep you accountable.
I really got to do it. So more than 31 books this year. Yeah. So I guess I better get reading. Sheep, how was your week?
Yeah, my week was pretty intense too. So over the weekend, you know, it got not quite as cold here as it did around your parts, but, you know, into the negatives. Again, not as negative as in Hydroland or Hydrowood, like Hollywood, but Hydrowood.
I'll take that.
I'll workshop that. But, you know, finally actually snowed. You know how it's like, oh, they keep on saying it's going to snow, but then it hasn't actually snowed. It snowed. work is work. We had a big deadline that was due on Friday, you know, today.
Yeah.
But we had to get stuff to like our external vendor for that on Wednesday. So after Wednesday, it was like a just exhale. It's like, I finally did that. And now it's like picking up all the pieces of all the other stuff that, you know, slipped through the cracks because we were focusing on that for like, oh, over a month. That'll do it. then, you know, Thursday, yesterday, new mini set came out. So I was playing some spicy decks, some Holy Paladin on standard, some Highlander Warrior in our format and standard. I like ours better, but it's better in standard. What can you do? But the real excitement came kind of over the weekend and kind of throughout the week, culminating today. So over the weekend, you know, I said it was in the negatives, right? My son's room has always been a little bit more susceptible to the elements than the rest of the house. It's just, you know, when it gets cold outside, it's colder in his room. When it gets hot outside, you know, the same. So the window in his his room, it was so cold outside that it froze over on the inside. He was not sleeping in his room because of how cold it was. So, you know, we live in new construction, so like called the warranty folks and they like came out and they were like, oh yeah, it's a window. So they sent the window guy out. Window guy's looking around at the window. He's like, your window's perfect. Your window's immaculate. This is the best window I've ever seen of all possible windows. Look at this seal. Oh, chef's kiss. Incredible window. You know, it was a little abrasive, kind of like, you know, berating me for why did you think this was the window? You know, because the window itself is what froze over. Funny thing that. He's like, what you need is some boosters on your AC, your HVAC system. And so, you know, called the warranty people back and they're like, I'll let the window guy stick to windows. You don't need boosters, but we're going to send the HVAC guy like out to see what's up. HVAC dude like came through. It was like, oh yeah, your like whatever balance system is like all off, and like went through and moved some stuff around. And my wife was the one home today. She's like, the temperature in his room like jumped about like 5 degrees over the next like 15 minutes. Like it just immediately was starting to actually even out. So we're definitely still keeping an eye on it to make sure that, you know, the fix actually fixed it and we don't have to, you know, call him back and all that good stuff. But like the window freezing on the inside was that like this is too much. Like it being a little cooler, like, you know, 60 degrees whenever it's like 30 outside, like, okay. But freezing on the inside of the window was too much. So you know, that was the excitement.
It almost sounds like that, insulation, right?
That's why, like, I thought it was the window.
Like
right?
By me, so, it would be, But I mean, it'd be like they didn't put enough insulation in the walls. Like maybe they goofed up and forgot to build that in. This would be what I would look at too. I don't know how you do that though. Hydro, what are you gonna say? You have better insight than
I don't know if this is better insight, but so being from Canada, I am not for like the window freezing on the inside is not foreign to me whatsoever.
Okay.
That's a thing. But older windows in general, I don't know how new the windows in the house, I've got no idea, but
the whole house is less than a year old.
Okay, so well you probably got a problem there. But as a kid growing up, like one of my favorite things to do was just like go to my window and I'd grab like, I don't know, like this guitar pick here and I would just like scrape the frost off. Like it was so fun. Like I just, the inside of my windows were always coated in frost. I lived in Winnipeg from 87. We moved there to like 1994. That's a cold place to live, by the way. And then Edmonton, which is also extremely cold. And we just always, frost in the inside of the window was normal. But I think that was like back in the day where you just had like the aluminum slider windows, like that kind of thing. And things have changed now. So I would definitely look into that. I think we are beyond the times where you have to deal with that, especially not living in the frigid north.
Probably how children in Canada entertain themselves is fascinating to me.
It was just neat. I don't know. I thought it was cool. I got snow in my room. Cool.
So that was the excitement in my neck of the woods. How are things up there in Orange County, New York, Shmoopy Daddy?
It was all right. We did have a snow day Tuesday, and that was really funny because they called my wife's school, I think, first, and then they called Shmoopy's school next. And then I had a 2-hour delay, so like I'm up, I'm getting ready. There's about not an hour left, but like it's pretty close to like me deciding. All right, am I going to go out on my quad and start plowing my driveway now, or am I going to like just try to house it and then plow it later? Like, am I trying to get myself to school? And they call me, right? So we're all good, we're all done. I go to Shmoopy. I'm like, Shmoopy, you got a snow day. And he's like, is mom going to stay with us? I was like, well, she's got a snow day. I got a snow day. And he's like, all right, cool. And then my daughter's just sort of hanging out on the couch, and she's going to be 3 in April, so she's kind of like feeling left out at this point. And I'm like, and babe, you got a snow day. And she's like, hooray! And Shmoopy was just like, she's always got a snow day. Like, she's getting frustrated about it. So that was
every day. It's a snow day.
I think we all got sick and over last weekend. And so something that's kind of cool when your kids are younger, and like, Sheep, you're going to sort of start seeing this soon. Whenever Shmoopy got really sick, he always sort of came out of it and took like an intellectual leap. Like, something was different about him. And I feel like both my kids sort of did that, where like they slept so much that their brains developed, and all of a sudden, like, he's been much more mature this week for whatever reason. Like, it's wild. It's like he's actually, it's not standard. It's not duels. He's actually like,
it's not twist.
It's not twist. It's definitely not twist. He's he's much more like patient when things happen, and it's just like, no, man, I can't do that right now, but I will do it once I'm done doing this thing. Oh, okay, Dad. Where has that been for 5 years? Because normally it's just people freaking out. And so like that has been really cool to see. On the other side of it, my daughter has taken an intellectual leap, and now she is looking to mess with my son's mental as much as possible. And so and so she's, again, going to be 3 in April. And so like she knows how to get a reaction out of him. And she knows he's soft. Yeah. She's just like, no, I can break you. And so she'll like, she'll go up, and all she'll do is she'll just start rubbing on him. She'll just start rubbing a shoulder on him. And be like, ah, get away from me. And then she'll just do it again. She's like, oh, no, give me space. And he knows he can't hit her. because, like, you know you can't hit your sister. So, like, he's just like, oh, I'm stuck in there between this rock and this hard place. I can't get rid of her, but she's bothering me. And meanwhile, she's like, she knows exactly what she's doing. She's wiggling. She's smiling. She's just like, wait. I'm bugging my brother. And, like, you'll send her to timeout. She'll be like, yeah, I got that one. That's fine. I'll take that one on the chin. That's on me. Like, you could just see the gears turning, and it's hysterical.
So, wait, she's three, and he's...
He's almost six. He's six in February.
He's almost six. He's six in February. That's amazing.
And she bullies him. Yes, she bullies. She absolutely bullies him. She absolutely uses her leverage. We don't make dumb kids. Like, unfortunately, she's just as quick as she's just as quick as him. And so she's looking to capitalize on the situation. So that was, like, you know, personal, kind of personal life. Just like, yeah, you know, kids. Kids snow day. Didn't get a snow day today, but that's all right. Like, today was an easy day. Did get like an abbreviated day, like a 2-hour delay on Wednesday anyway. So it was just like short day, full day on Thursday, whatever. Full day today, whatever. Easy week, can't complain. As far as like Hearthstone goes, a lot of my experience playing Wild now, sometimes it comes on me playing my own, but most of my Wild I play on stream. And so I got, like, I started finding myself getting frustrated with the level of the quality of decks that, you know, that chat was providing me in the Even Shaman belt. Like, do not send me a Mark Makes deck in the Even Shaman belt. It's not going to
work out. You're going to die.
It's not going to work out. Listen, if I'm in gold.
Immediately.
If I'm in gold, Mark. It might work. Have you seen a Mark stream? It might get there. It might not get there. And so, like, I got frustrated. I was just like, listen, sort of on a whim, I'm just like, listen, chat, here's your goal. I'm going to do an event. I'm going to declare the best, worst deck builder of all time. But in order to do this, you need to give me a deck that can beat the Innkeeper on Expert, on Warrior. Softballed this one. I gave it to him on Warrior, okay? On Warrior, but it needs to lose to humans. And so I'm going to play my heart out. I'm going to try and beat it, win a game with it, but you have to make a deck that can lose to humans but beat the Innkeeper. And chat said, okay. And then what I didn't tell chat was I magically found myself at Bronze 5 MMR. So I'm queuing up their decks on Bronze 5 MMR, and some of these decks are actually putrid. I have a couple of them that were like, well... I mean, it beats the Innkeeper half the time, but I beat it once. It's like, okay, that's great. But then I'm getting like an AFK opponent or like a bot. Like, it's just your deck is eliminated. Yeah, if their deck wins, I'd eliminate it. So like, no, the deck's too good. Sorry. You lose the contest. And so what did happen, though, is let's say your deck lost, right? And like, so you want to progress in the competition. I postulated this to you. Do you want to keep... going forward with the competition, or do you want to bow out gracefully? And if you want to keep going forward with the competition, I'm going to play your deck against the Innkeeper. If I can't beat the Innkeeper, I am banning you for the duration of the comp. And so I had three people say, yes, we want to move forward. Two of them, Robot Killer is no stranger to the Born to be Wild strim. His he brought his Milzoth deck with a Mogu Cultist combo for God knows what reason. he brought his deck, and that was real bad. But it did in fact lose a game, and then it did in fact beat the Innkeepers, so it kept on playing. The Man 64 had a deck that was not Questline Hunter, but if you guys remember playing Maxima and then playing Rivendare Horseman, whatever, and then you play Flark's Bunzuka, and then it pulls out all the horsemen and it shoots the horsemen. It's like, yeah, well, like the minute you draw Rivendare, that deck gets a lot harder to navigate. There's the man in chat right now. He knows who he is. So his deck progressed because I sure as heck did lose to a human. I sure did beat the Innkeeper. But one person did not survive Raxius, built like an Alex Rogue type deck, but had a much dumber win con that I don't remember off the top of my head. And I needed a 50-50 draw to beat the Windkeeper, and I lost the 50-50, and so Poraxius got banned. But that was the most fun. That was the most fun part of my week, basically banning Raxius and trolling chat a little bit, since they like to troll me a little bit.
It was a really fun, like, multi-day event to watch while I was, like, working on different school assignments. I'd, like, look over. Shmoopy's, like, either in the pits of despair or, like, cackling maniacally about actually winning, because that means that he gets to ban someone. It was hilarious.
There are bots that broke mid-game. Like, I'm losing on tempo, I'm losing on board, and then the bot just stops functioning. And so I end up winning because opponent disconnected, and I'm like, yes, your deck's too good, Final Union. See ya. It was awesome. It was awesome.
That's amazing. That sounds
beautiful. Reverser of Fortune.
It was incredible. Also incredible.
Welcome to the news. The news is so good.
The news is pretty darn good. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about here. So, as y'all know, the mini set of Deep Home has dropped. It is officially live. And something that is super cool is we all love our new hero skins. We do have the new one, Justice Jaina. And so this comes for, if you live in Canada land, you know, it's $31.25. I'm pretty sure United States is $25, I would suppose.
Confirmed.
Yeah. So, and this also comes with 5 mage packs. This is one of the 3D portraits that has all of its animations and unique frame and unique voice lines and all that jazz. Sheep, have you already clicked the button on this one?
I clicked the button on this one, but since it was just yesterday, I haven't gotten a chance to play with it yet because I haven't played Mage since then. But it immediately went into the favorite. Like, it's Jaina. It's like Cowpoke Jaina. Like, this is just exactly what I wanted in a legendary Mage hero portrait. I didn't know that I wanted it, but as soon as I saw it, I was like, you got me.
Right? Like, as somebody who said they're actively trying to monitor how much money they spend on the game, and then they're like, what would Hydralisk buy? They made it. So good on your team, Five, because you got me.
So you've already pushed the button as well, eh?
And I mean, it's so cool, right? So I'm not, like I said, I am trying to monitor how much I do spend on the game. I love having that 100% collection. At least this does come with cards. And yeah, it was just too cool to not. Mm-hmm. Plus, I'm a sucker for, like, you and I, we've both read the Dark Tower series. And so, like, this whole set recently with this, like, Western theme and also being sort of modern, there's mechs and stuff involved and whatnot. It just has this vibe to me that resonates with the Dark Tower. I know it's not, but like, it gets me in that way. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Drilly the Kid, come on. Like, it's so cool. Right. So, this got me. It's super cool. Justice Jaina. So yeah, pick that up if you want to grab that. I wanted to touch yes. Shmoopy Daddy has
one thing to remember about these animated portraits is, like, I think they're purchasable through the client whenever. This is just the 20% value is the 5 packs. Mm-hmm. They are available anytime in client, which was sort of like a hidden fact that, like, I forget if it was Ben Heathstone or somebody ended up, like, uncovering. We're just like, wait, I kind of cover this as a hobby. And nobody and people forgot to tell me they didn't advertise this. So, like, there's a chance, even if you don't pick this up now for the packs. I mean, it's nice getting it for the packs, right? Because they're at a discounted value. But if you're really hurting and you're feeling the FOMO, don't feel the FOMO too bad, because it is around to be purchased later if you want it.
Yeah, especially the legendary ones. I don't know if it's those outside of the legendary ones that you can purchase whenever.
No, but the legendary ones. But the legendaries for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you won't get the extra 5 packs, alas, but you won't miss out on the fancy portrait itself, which is huge.
Yeah.
Thank you for pointing that out, Shmoopy Daddy. Very important. Yeah, it's cool. I like it. I wanted to point this one out real quick. We don't normally talk about Arena, but there was an Arena update with the quick little neat announcement of the Delve into Deep Home has unearthed some treasures for Arena 2 on January 18th, which was yesterday. All current Arena runs will end. New season will begin. So there's a new rule for this Arena season. The last pick on each draft will be a curated pool of duels treasures. So as a duels aficionado over there on the East Coast, Shmoopy Daddy, is this cool? Are you gonna touch Arena to maybe try this out? Or do you think this will have some sort of lasting effect in the season of Arena? Like, what do you think? What are your thoughts?
It's okay. I think they're experimenting duels elements in Arena to see how badly duels elements break Arena. I think ideally, they want to sort of heal the wounds left behind not being able to support duels anymore with making Arena more duels-esque is the read I get it by why they're doing this, and just sort of the messaging and the signaling. Nothing I've seen that they're including is incredibly broken or anything that's really busted. Like, I think there's going to be some cute synergies. I think there's going to be some fun high rolls. I don't know if it's going to break down in a way where it's not like you you can get both pieces of Kel'Dalar, slap it together and get Kel'Dalar on 6 every game, right? Like, it's not that level of duels broken. So to a certain extent, I'm it's still Arena, but I'll definitely play it because I have to get good at Arena if I want to be efficient with my free to play lifestyle. So we'll have to do that.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to spend my ticket somewhere.
You could still, this duels format is very solved once it's back, .. We're going to have it for 2 weeks in March in theory, post new expansion. So I plan on doing that, but in the future, Arena's definitely I've got an eye on it.
Right on. Cool. Well, also, that we have up here in the news is a new in-game event. So this is the Lunar New Year event. Celebrate New Year festivities in Battlegrounds and traditional Hearthstone from January 30th to February 13th. So you complete event quests to earn experience, complete the rewards track to earn 6 signature cards, which are 2x Kobold Miner, 2x Walking Mountain, and 2x Howdy Finn, and the Lantern Stringer Galwing Battlegrounds Hero Skin, and the Dragon Dance Celeste Hearthstone Hero Skin. So, free things just for playing the game. I love these events ever since they added them. It's just another way to... what I like about it is they sort of force you to do some things that maybe you wouldn't necessarily do, or if it's something you already do, you're just getting it for free, right? So we've had some Battleground-centric ones where it's kind of made me play Battlegrounds, and then guess what? Then I played Battlegrounds for 2-3 weeks straight because I got addicted to it. So, yeah, it's super cool. I enjoy these things. And signature cards, I think they've proven that those are cool now, right? General much consensus better. that we like them a lot more than the first ones, and there's a
popular opinion. I still liked the first ones too, but I know that's an unpopular opinion.
I mean, four epics, not like if you're right at the end of your collection and you're trying to fill out the set, 4 epics, which is really good.
Speaking of epics, if you are a Amazon Prime subscriber, you can get a random standard epic card right now. So if you're on Twitch currently watching us and you see a little notification in the top right of your screen, you can click that box, scroll down. There will be a Hearthstone one you can click on and get your free epic. Make sure to pick the correct server. I've done the wrong thing many times. So yeah, do that right. But yeah, free epic cards there. So thank you, Shmoopy Daddy, for the perfect segue there. And we used to have a segment on the show, sort of, this is going back a few years, where there were a lot in our community were really getting into Wild, and it was real exciting, and people were climbing that ladder, and they were hitting Legend for the first time, and we haven't talked about that in a while, but we saw somebody that we all know reach Wild, Legend, Hearthstone for the very first time, and that is the one, the only, Ben Hearthstone. Hit Wild, Legend. For the first time, so Ben posted, first time Wild, Legend, never really climbed Wild before, just had used it for achievement hunting. I mean, why wouldn't you? Started with a 2x multiplier and played his own DK, even DK, for most of like the entire run. And it made his way to Wild Legend for the very first time with even DK. So congratulations, Ben Hearthstone. That is an amazing achievement. And definitely proud of you. I don't know if you guys got any words for Ben. We appreciate everything you do on Twitter, Ben, by the way.
Absolutely. And in my friends list. Ben's a great, great friend of the show. So congratulations, Ben. I really liked his build of even DK as well, especially like adding in the mining casualties and the way that ended up working. Just really great deck built. Mm-hmm. Awkward phrasing, but yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. And I'm just really glad to see him flourish in our format and, you know, frequent listener of the show. So congratulations, Ben. I know you're hearing this right now.
Yeah. So congratulations, Ben. We also have another first time. What we do have here is from the one and only Tito Santana, who got his first ever 2x legend in a single season. So he's got Wild Legend and Standard Legend. Tito Santana, congratulations.
Yeah, Tito, friend of the show and a podcast friend. You know, he's over at Bread and Butter. And first time Wild Legend, got there with the Shirvala OTK Paladin, the Holy Wrath Paladin.
Sure.
He was cool. Climbing with like this Highlander even DK, and he was doing really, really well. He was like, you know, I'm doing well, but, you know, climbing is slow. And I'm like, well, that deck is fun and good and you're doing really well with it, but it's a little slow. And he's like, do you have a deck for me that might get there a little quicker? So I slid him over the Holy Wrath Paladin, and nice. He just sailed there. Like, his stats were incredible. Overall, global win rate up there, I think, was something like 70%. It was awesome to see him like just skyrocket up there. So congratulations, Tito.
Can I Born to Be Wild nerd for a minute? I remember his episode, and I remember him talking about playing Holy Wrath and like calling out like when he was going to OTK with Holy Wrath. And so like, it's cool that you actually brought him back to Holy Wrath when it was good, when it's good, and being like, hey, by the way, your old favorite, it's actually kind of like the nuts. How about you go hit with that? And that's really neat. That's cool.
Excellent point. Absolutely. That's really cool to, you know, full circle, bring it back and then actually be able to play that one all the way to rank up.
I know I'm a nerd, but
nerd. I mean,
that's, I don't that warms my heart a little bit.
Yeah. Are the three of us not sitting here talking about a children's card game? I guess we're all nerds.
This is the way.
This another thing a nerd would say. This is the way. But we're all nerds here, so yeah, it's all good. I told you, Sheep, the person who lives in my basement, they have that on the back of their car, just as this is the way across their back window.
That's incredible.
Yeah, no, it's glorious. So let's quickly talk about the patch 28.4 known issues that we have. So Noam Saiyan post, I cannot help but think of J-Rock when I say Noam Saiyan.
Noam Saiyan! Noam Saiyan!
Saiyan! So posted on the official Blizzard forums that 28.4 is now live, bringing Deepholm in, but we got some stuff. So Velrock Windblade was unintentionally reverted to its prior transformation requirement, 3 cards from another class. And then we've also got, we've temporarily banned Jotun the Eternal due to a bug with its effect. It will be unbanned when we've resolved the issue. And
do you want to know what that was?
I'm just gonna read them all, then we'll loop back. We've temporarily turning off heroic duels due to players using an unauthorized technology to exploit the mode. So let's loop back up. If you want to start off with Velorak.
I mean, Velorak was like, I guess it still had the text on it, that it was like the normal, like new text, but it was acting like the old Velorak. So people were like, wait, this is bad. And so that was, at least for the early part of the release of the mini set, that was an issue because one of the best decks was like the Effectscavate. I guess they're calling Diggy Diggy Dig Rogue, or like Diggy Diggy Hole Rogue. There you go.
I'm okay with Diggy Diggy Hole Rogue. That sounds cool.
Yeah, you know, is it the song from the YouTubes that's the dwarven mining music? Is that what it's referencing?
I think so. It's a thing that I had not seen, but that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. Anyway, so like that was like definitely like impactful on the meta, right? The Jotun bug was funny because the Jotun bug, you know, his text reads like, okay, the first spell that you draw every turn, like, casts itself, and then, you get the copy, but you do get the copy that's cast. Like, you get whatever was cast, you do that, get a copy of it. And apparently it was casting every spell after he played it, which would make him playable in the wild format, but makes him pretty degenerate in standard, because it's just kind of like, okay, now the first spell you draw, and then the second spell you draw, and it's just like, it was just snowballing and kind of insane. So that one was funny, but they shut that one down.
They shut that one down, but not for long, because, you know, this came out yesterday, and today, around noon, mountain time, noon 30-ish.
Mountain time.
Mountain sheep. good friend Ridiculous Hat tweeted out that Velorak and Jotun are now fixed. Enjoy. So they've, you know, it's been like about 24 hours between the expansion release, the bugs being for Velorak and Jotun being identified, being Jotun in particular being put in quarantine for a little bit, and them fixing everything, like about 24 hours for the whole window. So that is a really quick turnaround time, and like hats off to the team there for making everything the way it's intended to be so quickly, especially server side. Like, we didn't have to download anything extra, which is even better.
Nice job.
I would also like to thank Sheep for pronouncing it the way it was intended to be, probably, because I called it Jotun. and then
I have no clue how it's supposed to be pronounced.
Jotun, I just said. And then you said Jotun, so who knows? I mean,
whenever I read it, it's like Jotunheim, so that's why I go with Jotun, but it could very much not be that.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Sheep's got that Texas influence where it's just like, it's like a Spanish J.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's like yeah. Jotun. Yeah, I could see it.
Which is funny because I call them jalapenos.
Right.
I don't at all.
I hope not.
You only do because Ricky does. We know that, right? Yeah.
Smokes.
What we'll have to do. Yeah. Yeah, I got to swear and smoke. Yeah, I don't know. But what we'll have to do is we'll have to wait for Goliath the Dwarf to come in and correct us as he usually does. So nice to see that we have some fixes there. But so the last point that we had there was heroic duels has been turned off due to players using unauthorized technology to exploit the mode. So I'd like to use this to segue into Shmoopy Daddy telling us a little bit more about what is going on.
Technology. Here, do you want me to? Do you want me to attempt to read the tiny text from the person, like explaining like the official statement, or do you want me to do like the hip Shmoopy Daddy like from the street, like what happened and like what was going
you,
on?
You can do going. Either. One of those, both of those, or the other one of those.
Okay,
give her, man.
I'll do how it unfolded for me. So basically, what I started getting leaks from was the Chinese community figured out that using a specific plugin, you could play any card you want in a Hearthstone and place it into a duels deck. Which like started like
any card
you could any card which started like you watch the imagination sort of bloom. So it started sort of cute. Right, it started sort of cute where it's just kind of like, oh, well, I'll use this card that doesn't belong in this class. Oh, yeah? Well, I'll use this card that's a mercenary's card. And I don't know if you guys have seen, like, I mean, I know Sheep has. Sheep, are mercenary's cards statted to be acceptable in constructed play?
No, not even a little bit.
Can you give an example of like a typical like mercenary stat line, like kind of off the top of your head, of like one of your maybe one of your top level characters, like that you can sort of remember, or like a ballpark?
I don't remember them too well, so I'm pulling.
I'll just say like something. They'll have like say it's like a Ragnaros or something. It's got like 9 attack or like 55 health, like something stupid like that.
And,
right?
And see, that would be Ragnaros at like level 1, not even a fully leveled merc. So for example, Mutanus level 1 is a 538.
Yeah,
that's so level 1.
It's insane.
So
there's more than one level.
So these launched into a mode where it's just like, oh, and it's zero mana because it's mercs. So you don't pay mana for your cards. So like you're talking about a turn one like 538, and it's just like, what? But then people's imagination started blooming, and they realized, oh, I can include like cards from solo adventures, or I can include cards that were bosses' cards in those solo adventures. And so you started seeing stuff like, I remember seeing one hand where it was basically like four Frostlich cards, where it's just like one mana, gain 100 armor, one mana, delete all the spells in your opponent's deck, one mana, do something else heinous, absurd stuff.
I saw a video where it was one mana, you know, one of the duels treasures, the bag of whatever, where you draw until your hand's full, and then a zero mana 100 attack weapon that was then swung into the face. Again, this is turn one. The person who captured it was on the receiving end of this treatment. They went second, so they did not get a chance to do anything because their opponent drew their hand, played a 100 attack weapon, and just made their hero portrait explode immediately. So duels was to say the least a little bit broken.
This I kind of expected. My personal favorite was the Hearthstone, right? So it's a zero mana start of game, draw this into your hand, but when you play it, you're supposed to exit the run. Or exit the fight, and then you like go to a tavern, you know, you like restock your stuff. You visit Bob. You say hi to Bob. I think this was in like Saviors of Uldum.
Yeah, one of the dungeon run style solo adventures.
Yeah, one of the dungeons, right. But the way it interacted in duels was you played it and your opponent died. So it was like a zero mana. If you went first, you won for zero mana. So, like, you could only put one in your deck, I think. But it was pretty wild and pretty upsetting. And so what was happening in the community was people were getting hit by this. And players were just like, yo, you just totally wrecked me. What did you do? And so they were sending the link to one another and adding the plugin. Oh. And quickly it was spiraling out of control. Now, people could, for a moment it looked like you could play it unconstructed. And again, any card. Like, I could put Time Warp in my deck if I wanted to. But, like, there's more degenerate stuff I could do than Time Warp. But, like, I could just play Time Warp in my deck and just on five mana rip Time Warp, whatever. But it wouldn't queue up and construct it. So it was just to duels. Thankfully. And the joke that I was sort of circulating around is just like, duels is old Yeller, and this is it. It's time to put them down, guys. I'm happy that it looks like the devs are going to open up duels again once they've sort of processed this out, how they did what they did. Because it looks like they know who did what and how they did it, and they're currently going through and doing that now, the punitive end of it. Because this is beyond just like, oh, funny card has a bug, let's play the funny card, of which there are some right now. Ticket is corrupted, deal mills 10 cards instead of 5. So... that's a funny bug that's happening now. If you want to play Ticketus, I don't think you're in the wrong. You're playing the cards as in the condition that they are, with the intent of I'm playing this card for this express purpose. I don't think that's a big deal. We've seen that in the past where, like, you know, Ixar hit famously.
Yeah, I was gonna say that
Taylor with the C'Thun combo with my eczema, right? And so we've kind of been given the green light where if stuff's bruised like that, like, yeah, you can play it, but, like, eventually it's going to get patched out. It's not a big deal. This was malicious, and this was...
This is bad. Yeah.
Different league.
Especially... Different league. There's rewards at stake, especially in Heroic, right?
100%. 100%. 100%. And you could also... What was also kind of funny about this plugin is, like, you could... pick the right moment to concede on like 11 and 3, and you could get double rewards, and it treated it like it was a 12-win run. So there was like they were even exploiting the reward system. Like, this was big no-nos. And this was coming out before the patch even happened. Like, the patch has hit, and we'd had some goofy stuff, right? Like, Velorok got reverted. Hyotun was not operating properly and needed to be put... Baby had to be put in the corner. Ticketus is acting funny. PSA, do not play Kazakusan in Arena. Just don't put him in your deck. If the choice is between Kazakusan and Duskfallen Aviana, pick the Duskfallen Aviana. Because Kazakusan right now, activated, deletes your deck in Arena. Does not add treasures. So it just... Your deck's gone, and you don't get the treasures. I didn't read the Zeddy tweet carefully enough to make sure that, like, I've internalized this information, because, again, Arena. But apparently, like, just playing the vanilla 8-mana 8-8 unactivated is going to delete your deck. And you're not going to get any treasures. So just don't play Kaz. So some funny things have sort of broken in the client on that end. Did you guys want to... Did you guys want to bring up Mine Rogue, or should I?
So I've watched a couple folks try it. I've not actually done it myself. So I'm going to punt over to you for how this is achieved, because it's some more silly nonsense.
you're going to be quicker on the card names than I will. So there's that new 1-1 elemental that steals your weapon's durability and adds it to its stats, right? Mm-hmm. So this is not a bug. This is everything working as intended but everything is working fine. There's no bugs. There's no issues here. This is just an unintended interaction where if you are playing Mine Rogue, you have Snowfall Graveyard up, you have your mine up, you have a way to copy or trigger the death rattle of this 1/1 little duder that steals your weapons thing and your weapons durability. So it basically sucks up your, like, you've got your Necrium blade up, which triggers death rattles. It sucks up the Necrium blade. If you can copy it or use Umbra, what will happen is you copy it, you kill off one of the dudes, or you have Umbra to trigger the death rattle. It will start replacing your Necrium blade with another Necrium blade, which will then trigger the death rattles on board, which will replace your Necrium blade with more Necrium blades while also triggering your mine. So it turns into an infinite loop of infinite damage.
Oh my goodness.
The match always ends in a tie. Because
the limit does not exist.
The limit does not exist.
You can't lose.
You don't win. It counts as a tie. But, like, you can beat things, quote unquote, like Linecracker. Again, two Chinese players as a friendly. We're just sort of testing this. We're just like, all right, I'm going to game 3,700 armor. Go. See if there's a limit to this thing. 2 hours later, it was still popping off. And the person, like, the Linecracker had already died. So, it glitches out so that when it's calculating the damage, it counts it as a tie, but you don't lose, and it's a thing you can do. You won't gain a lot of ranks, but, like, if you can force a tie more often than not, you could refine it and say, well, we don't always need a naval mine. Sometimes we can just use a leper if we got this infinite combo. That's a thing that's working right now. That's, like, again, that Snowfall Graveyard up. All cards are working as intended. This is not a bug. This
get
is just
a big hug.
Everybody give Mine Rogue a big hug, I guess. This might actually finally kill Mine Rogue, thank God. Because they might do something. They might do something like, maybe we make Snowfall Graveyard not work with weapons anymore. And that would easily solve the problem while also deleting Mine Rogue, which I think would make everybody happy except for degenerate Mine Rogue players, I guess. We shall see.
Or maybe something with Necrium Blade, or they've got options on how to address it. I would be very surprised if they do not address it whatsoever.
So I was sick last week. I left you guys some scaffold notes. I don't know if you read my earthen pendant thing where I said, hey, this could be a problem. You've played more standard than me. Do you want to describe how earthen pendant might be a problem? Or pendant of earth, whatever it's called.
Yeah, so you play this card where you discover a minion from your deck, and you gain that amount of armor. And you can run some pretty expensive minions that are not as expensive to play. In our format, that could be something like Molten Giant. Well, I don't remember whether Standard has Molten Giant or not. I don't think so. But they do have Naga Giant, which if you're running mostly spells, you want to be doing anyway. So Druid in Standard is running basically just two giants and ANR. And so, if they draw their giants, then, oh no, they're only getting 10 armor instead of 20.
For three mana. It's just a ferocious mana. Howl. It's not a big deal, right? Right, and as busted as Bran kind of looks, and I think, like, Bran felt good playing, like, Reno Warrior in Wild. Again, I was playing in not great MMR, so, like, I think it would be competitive in normal circumstances. It's just very funny to see how, at least in Standard, as cool and as fun and as decent as Reno Warrior sort of looks, a Druid looks S tier, out of pocket, out of hand, funky.
So what you're saying is I should get my Druid wins in now.
Do you want... It depends on whether or not you want to play those mirrors, because those mirrors are kind of brutal.
Yeah. I don't know. I was playing some Treant Druid in Standard, and that was actually, like, I just, like, for some reason, I mean, I'm used to Aggro, so I guess it was working out real well. I went,
it was a good deck.
I went 7-1 the other day, and I was like, that's cool. I'll take that.
Delightful.
It still might be, but like 3 mana gain 20 armor is kind of tough to it's kind of tough to swallow into like that's... oh. Let me play my 5 mana spell that also copies my Titans. So now I have a couple Titans on board and then I also so have gross. Titans in my hand. See,
then what I do as you know, the buff paladin is I play Shroom Scavate and double whatchamacallit. Yeah. And then double Garden's Grace, and so that's plus 10 and Divine Shield and Wind Fury. And I've actually taken down some pretty high armor druids sure. with, you know, like a Silverhand Recruit that all of a sudden, you know, before then I had like played the 4-mana holy spell one that when you attack gets buff, and then Dep Aura, Crusader Aura, and Dep Aura, and then we've got the Shroom Scavate and the Garden's Graces, and so the Silverhand Recruit is going face for like 20 for each attack. Standard is doing some really fun stuff right about meow.
Yeah.
And Brand does seem good. Like, I do want to say that. Like, it, like the Bran Astalor stuff is real and goofy. It's just, can you do that and also keep up with what Druid is doing? And typically the answer is no, because they make, like, 9 boards of multiple Titans, multiple 5/5s, sometimes a couple Yogs. Ew.
So the way that I found in Standard to actually be able to keep pace with the druids, we're cutting Odin in Highlander Warrior, and we're running
crazy
what's her name, the 5-mana 3/3 Divine Shield taunt where when she dies you draw your highest cost minion, Talon Forgering, I think.
Yes.
So then your highest cost minion is Bran, because in in Highlander Warrior, whenever you play Bran, you feel unstoppable. And whenever you don't get to play Bran, you feel like you can't get a win. And, you know, being a Highlander deck, you can only play one of all the things. It's really hard to guarantee to get Bran. So Talon, you can drop on 5 if you haven't drawn Bran yet. All of a sudden, you get Bran guaranteed, and you can start doing some really funky stuff.
Double school
the
teacher.
The most
stuff.
Funky, yeah, double school teacher. The best being the aforementioned Astalor. So if you wait to play first Astalor until after you've got Bran, so 2-mana Astalor creates 2 5/5 Astalors. Each of those create 2 8/8 Astalors. So that then you have
the
4.
Value.
You have 4 of those 8/8 Astalors that deal 28 randomly across. And as the warrior, I have before had to play all 4 of those 8/8 Astalors against a druid. I won, but it was close. Case in point, this is only with the 4th 8/8 Astalor that I finally won. So Standard is anything but.
Yeah, it's goofy. And so like this mini set has kind of cracked some stuff open, which is neat. And for Wild, I think it means Mind Rogue is more popular. I hear tell that perhaps Mill Druid is taking some notes from Standard. So, like, Mill Druid is more popular, which is horrifying to think of Mill Druid that can gain 20 armor for 3 mana in a turn. Because typically you beat up Mill Druid by aggroing it down. So, like, if you can't build a Boar State to aggro it down, like, that's ew.
Well, it's something we mentioned last week, right? Yeah. That mini sets don't often have this type of impact. And looking at the cards, it was something that we had theorized that, like, hey, this one's going to be different. This one's going to have quite the impact, whether it's just on Standard or in Wild, too. Like, I think they put some effort into this one.
I think that mini sets always have more impact than people give them credit for, because they always kind of look at the mini set cards and they say, how is this really going to change things? And then it does. And I think like the best example I can think of in recent terms was Yogg Unleashed. Did we think like a 15 mana Yogg was really going to warp the meta? That I'll be honest, I didn't. I did not see that coming. I knew it. I looked at it. I was just like, this is a decent card. I don't like. This is a good card. Like, this is a competitive card. I didn't foresee it coming down on turn 4 or 5 in Miracle Rogue. Like, that was not in my brainscape. But I knew it was going to be a competitive card, and it was going to be a good card. And it warped the meta. And we've had many sets that warped the meta. To your point, to your guys' point, though, where I agree with you is not every mini set is Dark Moon Fair Races. And this mini set feels like Dark Moon Fair Races, which was the first mini set, which gave us stuff like Nitro Boost Poison and a bunch of other cards like Crab Rider that needed to be touched later on because, oh, yeah, this is a problem. And I believe at some point it will become a priority to touch Bran for standard reasons. If for no other reason than the Astalor interaction, I think it's going to get touched. They might not because Astalor is not in standard for very long, but I still think this is going to be looked at more as like a Dark Moon Fair Races mini set, and I think you guys are 100% right on there on that, as opposed to like, oh wow, this one card is really good. The Jailer was a mini set card. Yogg is a mini set card. I'd have to go through and I'd have to look at other mini sets to see. Construct Quarters.
Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan. Yeah, there's been a few. It's not that the mini sets don't make impact. It's just like we have a lot of cards from them making impact right now, and that is you guys are 100% right there. Like, this is very different than that. Than what's typical. It's like usually we get a couple cards that might warp the meta. This is a lot.
Which I think is really neat in all honesty, because we went for a while with like we had expansion, then adventure, and we had to wait, right? Expansion, adventure, and then eventually we got the mini sets in the middle, which in my opinion, especially that you can pay for it with gold, is so cool. Just having that extra change up like right in the middle, and the more impact the better, and especially since 100%. Like by the time you get to the mini set, your average player, if you're just completing your dailies, you're gonna have that 2000 gold,
especially with the battle pass. Another thing to be able that they've innovated is the battle pass, like, has you set up where it's just like, no, you have enough for the mini set now, like you're good to go.
Yeah,
if you've been playing regularly.
Yeah, so it's super cool, and most people that at that point can get it for free, and it's super cool. So definitely something that I know we've been doing for a while, but I just like to reinforce that it's such a cool thing that they're doing to switch things up halfway through each set, on top of all the nerfs that they actually do now.
Yeah, long gone are the days of, well, a new expansion, a new mini set comes out, and WoW doesn't change much. That's no longer the case.
No.
Different expansions, different releases have different levels of changing the WoW meta, but they all have significant changes. This mini set is an outlier even among those, but long gone are the days of, well, I can just keep on playing my same secret maids, same 30. You know, I don't need to change anything. That's no longer the case. And honestly, it's great to see, because it means that we're not stagnated. We're not the, you know, classic of old where nothing changes. We can still innovate, still have fun, not just deck building, but what we're playing against changes so much too, that what we need to build, even if we're using all old cards, it's also changed.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, it goes to show that a lot of my favorites that I've liked to play currently aren't working, right? So that means the meta is no longer the same, right? So, yeah, Wild isn't like I don't want to repeat what you just said, but it's not as stagnant, right, as it used to be. It's things are changing. People are being innovative. And, I like to see it. In all honesty, even though if it messes with what I'm doing,
yeah, and I kind of
like.
to that point,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, not to step on. I kind of liked where Wild was at. Like, okay, we have a very obvious issue with botting and even shaman fatigue, and like that's very real. But I actually like the Wild meta a lot. There's a lot of variety. There's a lot of like tertiary archetypes that actually have some power level that you could play. Like I spent the last week or so playing Odin Warrior, sort of prepping for THL, as doing like an off meta thing, again to prep to play OTZ, and I was pleasantly surprised about how competitive it was. And so
yeah,
mm-hmm. There's a lot of that was in the meta. I'm always taking a view of like what fresh hell awaits whenever one of these mini sets drops, and I'm just like, oh god, like what new messed up thing do I have to calibrate for? And normally, if it's real bad, I fall back on duels, but Sag. So,
well, and I think that brings up a really good point too, in that different people get different enjoyment out of the game, right? Like I really enjoyed the previous meta as well, even shaman bot overwhelming notwithstanding. Even with that, yeah, I could play and did very recently, like in the past meta, two legend aggro druid, plague DK, hand buff paladin. You know, like there are so many different options that we could play, but maybe other people really like a more solved format. And so the fact that it goes, or not solved, but more homogenous format. So the fact that it goes between them, I think is more of a feature than something to be like lamented. I don't know what the meta, Wild meta in particular, is going to look this time next week when it's, you know, we're more than one day in, right? It could be more homogenous. It could be completely broken. The mill druid could be, you know, our unfortunate overlord. And I'm just like, no, this isn't my meta. I'm going to find something else to do, but it is someone else's meta. And so as long as, you know, if it's not my thing, I'll, you know, go over to duels and give it a fond farewell, or, you know, maybe I'll try arena, or by then maybe Twist, not this time next week, but soon thereafter Twist will be back and I can, you know, experiment there. Like there's so much else to do in the game that whenever there's a meta that I don't like, I can find a different one. But I did really like the meta that we're just leaving, from Showdown at the Badlands pre-mini set. It was fantastic. It felt like I could play anything and actually have game as long as I built it well and played it well.
I do like how you phrase that. It may not be your meta, but it's someone else's meta. That's a good way to frame it, right? Because if you like something and you're not having fun, well, does it mean everybody else isn't having fun, right? It may not be your meta, but it's somebody's. So that's a cool way to put it. I like that, Sheep.
Yeah, I'm toxic. I hate it. It's fine. I want variety. Whatever.
Hi, toxic. I'll be real. I'm Sheep.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
It's true, though.
Does anybody have any more comments on this topic? No. No. You good? You good? Well, we do have one more topic before we get to the end of the show. And for anybody who's been listening to this show for quite some time, for the last, I'm going to say about 3.5 years, this cast has been a three-person cast. So we started in about May of 2020, where Craig had departed from the show, and it became, you know, myself, Mike Lowe, and Nate Wolf, and then Mike left, and we added Sheep, and we just, yes, the wonderful Electric Sheep City. And so we've been a three cast for this entire time, for like 3.5 years now, and for a little bit, it's been two people. And two didn't feel quite right. So we reached out to our good buddy, who's on the show here right now. And we asked him how he felt about it. And what we have decided to do is, what we're going to do is add our great friend, Shmoopy Daddy, is going to become a full-time member of the Born to be Wild cast. So welcome, Shmoopy Daddy, to the full-time family as a co-host of Born to be Wild.
Oh, thanks, guys. The word privilege comes to mind. I thought about what I was going to say when, you know, you guys said that tonight was the night that we're going to announce this, and like, privilege comes to mind. I was, you know, as many people were, deep in the pandemic, looking for social outlets to kind of like branch out, so that like we weren't stuck behind the four walls that we were in. And this podcast was one of the welcoming communities that I found. And I have very fond memories of doing dishes. Shmoopy's trying to sleep with Shmoopy Mommy unsuccessfully in the other room, but I can put on my headphones and I can wash dishes and listen to the Born to be Wild. And then, like, you know, that you know, listening turned into, oh, wow, I can catch these guys live. That's cool. And then that turned into, oh, they have a Discord. Oh, cool, I'm in the funny name section. And that turned into Nate being like, hey, you hit legend pretty quickly. You want to come on the show and talk about it? Which was an episode that did really well. Which turned into occasionally guest hosting. And I have just, along the way, just been privileged to be able to contribute so much to the pod so far, informally. And to be able to do it formally is freaking awesome. But more than that, what it means to me as a social outlet is super important, because like I get to like hang out. I have a standing date with two cool dudes to talk about a children's card game every Friday. I'm in my mid-30s. All my friends, either they have their kids and they're busy with their lives, or they've moved away. And so, you know, in a big way, the same reason I got into streaming, just having a social outlet that is available, this is just really cool. Hanging out with you guys is really cool. So I'm super excited to do this for however long you guys want to do it for, until you get sick of it. And it's an honor and a privilege to come hang out with you guys.
And that honor and privilege is all ours. We are so lucky and happy to be welcoming you to be the final head of that three-headed hydra here at Born to be Wild. Like, there has to be, just like there has to be a Canadian, there has to be a third host. I mean,
there has to be an Orange County.
There has to be an Orange County. It's tradition at this point. And you know what? Whenever Hydra and I were looking at who we could bring on to complete the family, it just, there was no other answer. There just
was
wasn't.
It was a no-brainer, in all honesty. It was a no-brainer.
It really was. Yeah. So we are so lucky to have you. And I hope our listeners can welcome you with open arms as well. I mean, I know they already have and do, but hey, if you're hearing this and you got Shmoopy Daddy on Twitter, like, hit him up, be like, hey, welcome. I don't know where I was going with that, but we're really lucky to have you and really happy.
I know where to go next, because I'm going to need to ask you some advice, Sheep.
Unrelated advice with Electric Sheep City.
That's me.
So, Electric Sheep City, you are, I am the newest host of the Born to be Wild podcast. You're the old newest host of the Born to be Wild podcast. What advice do you have for the newest host coming from the old newest host for the newest host of the Born to Be Wild podcast.
So, best piece of advice I can give is to be and continue to be comfortable, but not too comfortable. And by that, I don't mean like, you know, there's any sort of like nefarious anything, but like always trying to bring something different or innovative, or, you know, like, hey, what is it that I can bring that other people aren't doing? And you're already doing that, right? Like, there's a reason why we kept on having you on when we did, and why we kept on bringing you, and why we wanted you to be here. It's because you already do that. But making sure that, like, hey, what is it that I'm doing that other people might actually be interested in? And for me, that was the hardest thing to kind of find. But again, also be comfortable, because people want to hear you, right? Like, again, there's a reason why we asked for you to be here. It's because we think you're kicking rad. So be yourself, get comfortable. Don't be hesitant to get real weird with it, because that's what podcasting is all about, is for people to listen to your stupid thoughts. I mean, my stupid thoughts, at least. Yours tend to be better than mine. But put on your glorious squid, Princess Squid, if I'm not mistaken by what's about to happen.
There we go.
Princess Squid hat.
Okay.
Get weird with it. Embrace the weird. Embrace yourself. And more than anything else, have fun.
Thank you, sheep.
Wiser words have never been spoken. And you heard that on
Born to Be Wild.
It wasn't me!